Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to On the Air with Dr. Pat Allen, Empowered Communication, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome back to the show. We're so glad you're with us tonight, and I wanted to let you know 323-203-0815 is the way to get in touch with us and chit-chat. We'd like to thank the One Institute for sponsoring our show and bringing us to you every Friday night. Fantastic. One Institute, go there and see what we've got going on. Dr. Allen.
Yes.
You are on the air.
I'm so happy. My voice is even better.
It indeed does sound better.
Good.
So, let's start the show right off the bat with a question.
What?
This question comes from a gentleman. As a man, sometimes I wonder the best way to approach a woman. There are so many jerks out there. I'm concerned that women are guarded, and I'm assuming they think I'm just another one of those jerks. How do I approach them?
By being a gentleman. Okay. What you do is, number one, do you want to be respected? If you do, please approach the darling of your dreams, your eyes. You men have a tendency to pick women that attract you eyeball-wise.
Right, vision.
Vision. And your best bet is to say hello and to say something, whether it's about the chickens in Gelson or whether it's about the snow or the rain or the wind or sun, something, and just start a conversation. He who or she who speaks first is masculine, and that's assertive. That's giving, protecting, cherishing. Ask the woman if she needs help, whatever it is, picking up a box, whatever. So if you wish to really make a good impression on a lady, I suggest you speak first. And if possible, say something that is, in fact, flattering.
Right.
I really like your earrings, whatever. And or curious, do you work here, or is flirtatious, you know, I'm
yeah.
so attracted to you, do you want to have a cup of coffee? I'd love to get to know you.
That's awesome. Now, you tell us as feminine energy to stay away from talking about work. So if a man approaches us and discusses work, your advice has always been, you know what, I'm off work, and I don't really want to talk about work, but I'd love to know what you're interested in. Something like that, Dr. Allen?
Yes, it's true, because for one thing, if you're flirting at work, be sure you check the company policy about dating fellow employees. That can be very, very sensitive.
Yes, it can be.
Right. And if that's okay, then I want you to understand, if you start flirtatious dating at work and it doesn't work out, you're going to have to work with that person. That's also very, very sensitive.
Yeah,
so,
it is.
It's better to go to the cafeteria.
Right.
The parking lot.
Right.
Someplace where you may be on the work scene campus, but you're not in the work office. And so at least if it doesn't work out, you won't have to face them sensitively.
That's a really good point. And here's another interesting thing. I was thinking about what Patty Stanger mentioned last week, that she had dated a gentleman who lived in her building.
Oh, yes.
And then it didn't work out. Now every time she goes to pick up the mail, boom, there he is.
That's right.
So what is your stance on that?
Just what we're saying. it's okay to flirt wherever you're at as long as you're willing to pay the price.
Yeah, and it could be a pretty stiff one having to move away. So I can right. see that, you know, I can see where that would be an issue.
Right.
So here's our next question. Since my retirement and becoming a widow about 4 years ago, communications are changed drastically with my children. And instead of having conversations, a critical review of how I live or what I'm doing has become the central topic. I try to ignore. I don't want to have arguments, but they're constantly criticizing me. I'm trying to rebuild my life, but I feel depressed now. I want a positive relationship with my children. How do I talk to them and make them understand?
Well, first of all, I recommend the back of my book, Conversational Rape, which is an overview of my doctoral work, which is Androgynous Semantic Realignment, and it's got a chapter called Old Fogies. And in that, it has a really good description of children who are now parenting their maturing, aging parents.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just a reverse system.
Right.
So what you do at that time, if you wish, go copy the book, The Old Fogies, the last chapter, and send it out to all your children.
What and a great then, idea.
Yeah, really. Because it makes the statement very clearly. Look, kids, I know your dad's dead, or he's left with that bitch 35-year-old, but I'm ready to date. Yes, I'm spending money on my hair, my nails, and my clothes. And yes, I know that's not going to give your inheritance any good money.
Right.
But I personally want to enjoy the rest of my life. And so it's going to include dating. It's going to include me doing things creatively.
Right.
I may take up art class. I may take up belly dancing. And well, I want you to know that it is none of your business.
Right. Well, it seems to me she had a successful marriage. Obviously, she lost her mate to some way, and he passed. He didn't leave her. So the other thing is that she retired, which means to me she works. So whatever she has, they're not entitled to. She's entitled to some love and some joy. And
I appreciate that, except kids, when they start maturing, start looking at pictures on the wall, jewelry on your neck. Do you know what I'm saying?
Right, right.
So it's you might as well get it handled. I wrote up a trust, and I gave each of my daughters a copy of it. I don't want to think about them squabbling over things.
Yeah.
So handle it. And because of that, please don't let your children take over your life and put you in your coffin soon.
I definitely agree with that. And callers, if you don't get through right away, try back 323-203-0815. Now then, our next question is really, really interesting. I'm confused. I feel unappreciated, and I don't know how to express that to my husband. My husband was sick yesterday, and I took care of him, and I did a lot of housework, which I don't like. But if I don't do it, a lot of times it doesn't get done. He seems cold, and I feel like he should say thank you and show me some love. But it's always business as usual. I've been practicing being feminine, but my question is it masculine to want to be appreciated?
Appreciated sounds an awful lot like respect. Here's what I would say.
Okay.
If he's a major breadwinner, then you're a major homemaker. If you're both being breadwinners, I recommend that you sit down every 2 months and you negotiate chores, you negotiate maintenance, cars.
Right.
You negotiate money, you negotiate time, I, we, and us.
Right.
You constantly, for a year, every 2 months, negotiate the responsibilities. There are three styles of relationships.
Right.
One is a convenience. That's where you both work and you both do chores. And that those things need to be negotiated so that you know what's expected. The second thing is you've got to talk about all time, space, money, and play so that you know. And then if you want to be equal, that's a convenience. If you want to be codependent, then one is a slave and one is a master. Now, if you have started a codependent slave-master relationship, be sure you go see the movie Secretary, because it's a great example of a sadomasochistic movie that is done, and they like having their relationship that way.
Right.
And some people do. But I'm hearing that you want respect for doing chores. Now, if that's the case, I haven't heard the answer, is he the major breadwinner? Because if he is the major breadwinner, you're making up for the money you're not bringing in by doing chores.
Sure.
And that means there's equity there. So with the equity, you both deserve to be respected and cherished. The second type is codependency. The third type of a relationship was a legal choice in Louisiana, Arizona, Minnesota, and Michigan. That's where one person was designated legally, signed a contract that they would pay the bills for the family, period.
Right.
And the other person signed a contract that they would be the homemaker, kids, house, period.
Right.
And so it would matter on which style of relationship you had whether you could require respect. If you are a breadwinner making up for his, if you're a homemaker making up to him for his breadwinning, then basically you both appreciate each other and cherish each other.
Right.
If you're equal in sharing, putting in money and doing chores, you're both equal. But if you've got a covenant and he's doing the major breadwinning, then you're doing the major homemaking, and it's quid pro quo.
Yeah.
You are getting your just returns.
Exactly. I have a question to follow this one.
What?
What happens when you are unaware of Pat Allen's principles and you're in a relationship and things start to go hanky and you want to do that contract and like, okay, so I'm on board to do the contract, but your partner isn't following your Pat Allen ideas. Okay.
Okay.
No, we have a caller. Let me take this and we'll go back
all
to
right.
that. Good evening, caller. You are on the air with Dr. Allen. Do you have a question?
Yes, I do.
What is it?
Oh, okay. Hi, Dr. Pat.
Hi.
The question is that I'm starting to duty date. I'm in my 30s. And the problem that I'm having is, you know, the guys, they ask for my number, but then they end up just having this texting relationship, you know, on the phone. And this will go on for, you know, days, and then we'll go out on the date. So not only is it annoying, but I feel like it's a lot of energy, it's a lot of work, and they're really not texting. There's nothing that they're really texting about. It's just that maybe it's just the way that it is these days. And I'm wondering, is there anything wrong with that, or, what would you suggest?
I'll tell you what it is. The male brain, the right-handed man's male brain, likes information and transmission. There's nothing more informative and transmitting than texting. Email
mm-hmm.
is more right lobe, left lobe. There are more ways of expressing feelings. Phone calls are the most. So when men do their favorite form of communication, which is very often texting, you as a woman can accept it for maybe a week, and then you say, you know, I really appreciate your communicating with me, but it is really too intellectual and too objective for me to just do texting. So if you're not willing to call me and see me and be more human, I don't feel comfortable relating to you. So listen to the texting for a certain period of time and then draw a bottom line, because we women, with our large corpus callosum, we feel and think, and texting is a little too left lobe. So we want some left lobe and we want some right lobe, where we hear voices and see faces and have our sensuous needs met.
Okay. That makes sense. And do you also think that it gives them, like, you know, how you speak in regards about energy, like, does it give them that hit every time, you know, they're texting and then you're texting back? Like, it doesn't give them that space to kind of, like, think about you or ruminate, like you say, and kind of miss you because there's that constant texting back and forth?
Well, if there's a constant texting back and forth, he feels extremely safe and secure. What he doesn't realize, he's tending to the left lobe needs of a woman. That's information. But he's taking care of the right lobe need for affection, for sensitivity, for eyes to eyes, for touch. Mm-hmm. Because we women, we feel and think. Now, left-handed men and naturally gay men have a larger corpus callosum, and they often like their feelings right lobe and their thinking left lobe back and forth, resonating. So it's right-handed men that very often want just texting because of its informational, cold, objective, non-sensitive, feminine way of communicating. But we women, we're not favorite. We don't like that.
Okay. It just sounds a little harsh, just the way that, you know, that you phrased it. Like, it just, like, do you, will they understand that, or will they just kind of just,
let's practice. I'm a man.
Okay.
I've been texting you for a week, and it's been informative, and you're planning to see each other in another week. How would you tell him that you want a balance of email, texts, and phone calls? What would you say to him?
I would say, I feel better when I'm able to hear your voice, or
I'm going to correct you right now. The first thing you say is, I so appreciate, you've stroke him, I so appreciate your reaching out to me in any form.
Okay.
So say that.
I so appreciate you reaching out to me in any form.
However, now go into your spiel.
However, it makes me feel good when you call me and I can hear your voice on the phone, rather than me receiving texts from you.
What do you think about calling me along with texting and email?
Okay. What do you think about calling me and texting me along with email, but hopefully calling me more?
And then he'll either say, this is foolish, I feel controlled. Do you see? He'll either banish it, or he'll say, okay, I can do that. Do you see?
Okay.
He'll either accept it, or he will reject it. But if he rejects the balance of communication techniques, then he wants an intellectual brain-to-brain relationship, which is not particularly romantic.
Right. So does that mean he's femme, or...
Does that what?
Does that mean he's more of a feminine guy?
No, like he's too masculine.
Oh, okay.
You see, here's how feminine men talk. They call you a few times, and then they say, how come you don't call me?
Yes, I've had that. Yeah.
Here's the answer. Because I'm the girl, and you're calling me, and until we decide what we're doing with each other, I want to be the girl.
Right. Just sounds so direct. It's, I don't know. It makes me nervous just thinking about saying that to a guy. Just sounds then, really direct, but I have to practice that for sure.
Then I want you to consider doing it his way and knowing that what you're doing is mothering him. But as soon as you use mothering in a controlling way, because he's so gee, I liked it that you called me. Golly, what do you think we should do? And what do you want me to wear? And all these mother requests. Eventually, he is going to hate you for the very thing that he said he liked you for.
Oh, I see. Okay.
So you have to decide, if you don't mind texting only, have at it. But if you mind, you're eventually going to get mad enough to refuse to talk to him. And that's a lot more painful than telling him, texting only turns me off. I want a blend of feelings in emails and phone calls and texting.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's to say what I don't like.
Yes.
Okay.
That's how women get what they want, by knowing what they don't want.
Mm-hmm.
Men get what they want by knowing what they want. And that's what I said in the first question. Whoever speaks first, is the male.
Yes.
And whoever does only texting is so male that a girl can't really be comfortable around him. And that's how he turns girls off. But maybe he wants a girl who's really a boy.
Oh. Wow. Okay.
See? So have you read Getting to I Do?
Yes, I have it.
Okay.
I have it on my Kindle.
Mm-hmm. Good. Excellent.
Yeah. But I have to keep revisiting it because there's so much in there. And it's like every time I revisit it, there's something new that jumps out. So.
That's the reason it's still on the stands 20 years later. People haven't, they haven't finished with it.
Yeah. So I am rereading it and relearning a lot of the things. So,
and for those of you that are married, they're staying married and loving it, but it's not in the stores. It's in Amazon. Staying Married. I wrote that. That's about the tools.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Okay. All right. Well, thank you so much, Dr. Pat. Really
You're
appreciate
welcome.
It.
You're welcome.
Thank you, caller. Hello, caller. You are on the air with Dr. Allen. Do you have a question?
Hello?
I hear a radio back there.
You have to turn your radio down.
Okay.
Okay. Do you have a question for Dr. Allen?
I do.
What is it?
I spoke to Dr. Allen about 3 weeks ago regarding a situation with my ex-boyfriend, and I told her that his mom invited me out and to have dinner, and I hadn't seen him in 6 weeks or 7 weeks. So basically, I went to the dinner, and I'm just trying to get the update or give her the update and trying to get some advice on how to move forward.
Well, what happened at the date with the mother?
Well, we all went out to dinner, so his whole entire family was there.
Oh, was he there too?
The mother?
No, was he there?
Yes, he was there.
Okay, so it was a family dinner date.
Yes.
That's an honor.
Yes.
So how did it go? What do you want to ask me?
Well, the dinner went well, and it was nice. And then afterwards, he started sending text messages saying it was nice to see you, and pretty much that. So it's been 2 weeks of text. He's just been texting me.
Texting, and not really
asking me out, just touching base once a week since then and making up these kind of silly excuses to reach out.
I appreciate that. What I'm hearing is called bait and switch. Baiting is giving you flirtatious team emails, texts, waiting for you to ask him out.
Right.
So,
and since then, his best friend came into my workspace to get some services done that was set up by my ex-boyfriend. He had texted and said, his friend so-and-so wanted to come in and get some services done.
Good.
And he came in yesterday, and I guess my question is that my ex-boyfriend wants to come in for services, and the last time that happened, he came in, and I got really weak, and we ended up making out, and one thing led to the other, and then I did what I shouldn't have done.
What did you do?
I had sex.
Well, you had sex,
or
tasting, touching. You had intercourse.
I had intercourse.
In an office?
No. That, kind of started there, and then I met with him later, and
it
kind of seemed like he was trying to rekindle the romance, and then I met with him that night. I ended up spending the night at his house, and then that week, he just backed off, so I felt
understand.
He just used me for that reason.
That's
bait and
called,
switch total.
Now I know it's bait and switch. This person assumes that if he walks in front of you or taps you on the shoulder often enough, you will eventually give him the gold. Do you understand?
I do.
But does he contact you within an 8-week period?
Yes.
Okay. And you're kind and friendly and you respond?
I do.
Okay. So he created the services issue, and you gave him intercourse as a reward, which is going to allow him to believe that if he sets up a situation again, he's going to get the same results. May I recommend that you not have intercourse without a commitment to monogamy, continuity, weekly dates, and a long-term goal that you both agree to, whether it's going steady or getting married eventually. I really don't want you to go all the way with him because it supports the game of bait and switch. He's titillating you by coming near you, calling you, texting you. But what he's doing is waiting for you to ask him to make love to you, to date him. Do you understand?
Yes.
So do you want to be the boy or do you
want
to be the girl? Then I want you to watch the system of how often and what techniques he uses to bait you into asking him to see you. Whatever these are, please feel free. Answer the texts, the phone calls, the emails, accept the dates. And if he goes for the sex, did he move on you when you had intercourse?
Yes.
Okay, well, when he moves on you, say thank you for being attracted to me and wanting to make love to me. But I have made a promise to myself. The last time we made love, I gave you something that I didn't tell you was not free. I am not going to have casual sex with anyone unless they are committable, which means monogamy, continuity, and longevity, similar goals. Are you willing to let him finish his game of bait and switch till you go to the crisis of sexuality?
Well, that's my question. If he wants to come in for services, I don't know if I see him and smell him or if I just shall refuse it and say, I appreciate you want to come in. However, I still have feelings for you, and I don't, it's not good for me to see you,
you
until
know
I'm over.
No,
I don't know what to do.
Until,
that's my question for you.
No, not over. Until we're in a committed, monogamous, continuous, long-term relationship.
Okay, so that was my question for you. Should I let him come in and pay for some services, or should I just say that it's not good for me to see him until that's my
You know
question.
What? Do you drink at work?
No.
Well, if you don't drink, then you don't knock out your scary feelings. You have them. And so when your instincts and your neurotransmitters tell you that he's coming for sex, make your statement. Don't just cut off services. That's a money-making operation for you. Is that true?
It is, yes.
Okay. So do business, but don't do monkey business.
Okay.
Hey,
I understand that, and so
don't,
it's like he's getting his fix just by coming in and seeing me for services. He's
I got
his
news
fix.
For you. But if he sees you and comes in for services, you're getting paid for it, right?
Yes.
And when he goes for the big eye, intercourse, you're going to say graciously, thank you, but no thank you. I'm into getting in a committed, marriage-bound relationship. Are you willing to consider that?
Okay.
So why not?
Okay, so you're saying that it's fine to continue to be receptive
business.
To his minimal effort of
yes.
contacting me via text.
You got it. Until
and
he wants to come in for services.
And then when he does,
by
I
the
accept
way,
it.
What are the services?
I'm an esthetician, so I do male grooming and
oh,
female
I
grooming
love it.
And facials.
I love it.
Yes.
You know what? Dancing and makeup and beauty shops are the closest things to intercourse you can get without intercourse. So why don't we just do a little teasing with the business, but do a nice close with your statement.
Okay.
I have a question, caller.
Yes?
So you were dating him for how long before the 7-week period before the mother called you?
I was dating him for a year, and then I gave him we broke up, and then he came back, and then I said, you know, I won't have intercourse for you. We can date each other and work on our communication, but I'm not willing to have intercourse. And if I'm not engaged by my birthday, then I'm out of here. And my birthday came, and we weren't engaged, and he wasn't willing to work on the relationship. I did not have intercourse with him in those 5 months. It was from January to May. And then after May, he got mad because, of course, I just stuck to my guns, and then he backed off. And that's the point. I was almost 7 weeks, and then his mom called me, and his family started coming in for services, and then they invited me to a family dinner because they love me. His whole family wants me to be with their son.
So do you think the mother was the one, or do you think he had his mother call? I'm just curious.
No, I think his sister and his mother genuinely wanted to come in for services because she was coming in from out of town. And from that sparked his interest. He did not contact me. She did.
So do you want to be with him? Are you in love with him?
Well, I have very strong feelings for him, and we have chemistry, and I care about him, so I'm not over it. And I would like to have a relationship with him if he was willing to be, you know, the man. But I
right.
feel like I was with Peter Pan for a year, and
well,
I was the mom. So.
That's the bait and switch. Were you drinking the night you gave him intercourse?
No.
Okay, so you just freely gave it to him.
Yeah, I did.
Don't do that.
I just did. Why did I do that?
No, don't do that.
Oh, I won't do that. No, okay. I've learned, because that very week after that night, it happened. It was on Father's Day that night. The next morning, I woke up and had coffee in the usual, like, routine that we used to have when we were in a relationship. And then I thought perhaps it would rekindle something. And then he just backed off, and he would send me texts and calls, but then he didn't really want to make plans with me or see me. So it was hurtful.
Well, let's wait until he makes plans to see you. And they may start as services and end up with sexual requests.
Okay, so when he comes in to see me for services, and if he gives me a hug and wants to give me a kiss, do I accept that?
Absolutely. All I'm talking about is intercourse. Everything other than intercourse is affection.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. Well, for some reason, I feel like he's using me just to come in and get services and not considering my feelings about it being hard for me to be not in the relationship and
but
just
I,
have this casual friendship.
I want you to realize that the bait and switch will eventually, he came after you sexually after the services, and I want to see if he'll do it again. Because then, if you do it the way I'm telling you, he will be put up against a wall of action.
He will do what? He will put up what?
He will be put up against a wall of action or gone.
Okay, I see.
So you let him win, and now he's confident. So that will allow him to come after you again.
I see.
Don't give in this time.
I won't.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you, caller.
Thank you. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay, the next question of the night is, what do you do when a masculine man flips a script on you and goes all beta 10 years after marriage?
Well, what you do with that is recognize that he was doing a con job, and that basically you might be with a psychopath. Psychopaths are people with no conscience, no empathy.
Well, how do you halt the urge to alter yourself? In other words, if he's gone beta, how do you...
If he's gone beta, this is why...
Do you turn alpha, and how does that work?
No. What you do is, you basically stay feminine no matter what. For example, if he goes, honey, I don't want to work where I work. You've got a good job. How about I go to school and we don't, you know, live the way we're living? Well, she says, that's absolutely wonderful, except that how are we going to pay our bills? Because I'm not willing to pay both sides.
Right. Okay. And then, so this particular male appears to
be... The way men... I'm going to share with you. The way men train women to be masculine is by asking for help, mothering.
Right.
And when women do it, do you see?
Mm-hmm.
They are basically cherishing the man.
You okay, see? Yes.
So I tell people, look, I strongly recommend before you get married, and I don't want anybody to marry anybody legally for a year of not knowing them. And I want, if you're suspicious and your gut tells you that you might be with a Peter Pan or a sociopath or a psychopath, read the book by Sandra Brown, Women Who Love Psychopaths.
Right.
She has a wonderful book about that. And here's how psychopaths con you into becoming mama, matriarch, masculine, mother.
Right.
They basically say, I can't do this, do this for me. They will put you in positions of rescuing. And when you do it, they keep upping the ante until pretty soon you're doing all the work, do you see?
Right.
And they are basically laying around.
Right. Well, this particular mail that I'm referring to, apparently the gal that writes in, is 52 years old.
Okay, so he's starting to switch into andropause, which is hit the estrogen in his body is going to make him want cherishing.
Right.
Well, that's okay, because after 50, both men and women want respect and cherishing.
This particular woman's in her 30s.
I appreciate that. Mm-hmm. So she's still on her estrogen.
Yes.
So now I've got a girl on estrogen and a guy on estrogen. I've got too many girls.
Right, right.
But if both of them want to be together, they will negotiate time, space, money, and play. And they will set up boundaries that may not always be comfortable, but will be equitable.
Do men ever go into early andropause like women sometimes go into?
Of course, but those are usually men that were feminine to start with.
That's interesting. Very interesting.
Men that are masculine, pretty mm-hmm. masculine,
yeah.
I want what I want, and they will generally stay predominantly male. But if their women are menopausal,
right,
the women can disrespect them and break their spirit.
Oh,
because
okay.
as men become more fragile, they die.
Right.
They just can't handle disrespect. So a smart, mature woman, 50 plus, will do well to respect the man she's with unless he's immoral, unethical, or illegal.
All right. Here's the next question. What to do when boyfriend, male energy, withdraws? He says he doesn't want to break up, but he's withdrawn, and female does definitely not want to break up. What is going on, Dr. Allen? What's happening there?
What he's doing is either training her to chase him sexually, or he's setting up a neutralized relationship wherein he's going to get laid outside the family.
Mm-hmm.
Do you see what I mean?
Yes.
So if a man comes to a woman and says, I want to sleep in another room, I really don't want to have sex anymore, or he pulls away.
Right.
Okay. The best thing she can do is enjoy herself. Hey, okay. She can take up art. She can start going out dancing. She can start doing things that are not immoral, unethical, or illegal.
Right.
Until he realizes, because he may be a passive-aggressive guy. And the great book, Living with a Passive-Aggressive Man, by Scott Wetzler, W-E-T-Z-L-E-R, is really good. Because very often, as men mature, they get angry about giving, protecting, and cherishing women. Because they have been basically faking it. They really don't want to be men.
Right.
Okay. Well, if she has a 51% value in him, he's a good father, he's a good provider, but he's not in love with her anymore.
Right.
For all she knows, he may be gay. A
right.
lot of gay men cover marriage.
Oh, they, right.
Do you see what I mean?
Yeah, they're fronting.
Yeah, they do that. And this is a way you find it out. So what she can do is, yes, if she finds evidence that he's being sexually unfaithful
mm-hmm.
with men or women or both,
right.
she can, that's immoral.
Right.
She can get a divorce.
Right, right.
But if he's just shutting down.
Okay.
He's just becoming feminine.
Okay.
He may be retiring. Do you see?
Right, I see what you're saying.
And so what she does is start to enjoy her life as an individual.
Right. She becomes an individual
right.
and does her own thing.
Then he has a choice to make. He has a choice to either go back to being a giver, protector, or cherisher,
mm-hmm.
or they start having one of those companionate relationships.
Oh,
your room and my room, or my bed and your bed, you have your life, I have my, you know, they're still married.
Legally.
But they're not intimate.
Right, they're still married legally. They're just not married.
So the thing you don't want to do, here's what I say. If he's pulling away, please don't give him the pleasure of your pain.
Because I totally understand.
Because I do know that if you give him the pleasure of your pain, he knows that you're totally going to mother him.
Right.
And then you will give, you will protect, you will cherish.
And that's where he's really heading, isn't it? Isn't it? It's just maneuvering and manipulating into that position.
That's exactly. And remember, manipulation isn't a game. Manipulation is, I am going to solve my problem.
Right.
He's pulling away. And you know what? To tell you the truth, I don't care.
Right.
I have other things to do and places to go. I'm going to go to school.
I'm going to belly dance. I'm going to go to the beach. I'm going to learn to surf, whatever the case may be. Right.
Because once you have a life and he sees you have a life, if he's passive aggressive and he just doesn't want to serve, he will notice that you don't mind him not serving.
Right.
As long as he's 51% valuable. And for women, that's usually he still brings home his share of the money.
Hmm. Okay. Next question.
By the way, Harvard did a study and found out that 2/3 of women mate and marry for stature, Mrs. So-and-so, and financial security. 1/3 of women mate and marry for sensual and sexual. They're called cougars.
Right.
2/3 of men mate and marry for sensuous home and sexually desirable body.
Ah, okay.
1/3 of men mate and marry for stature and financial stability. That's Peter Pan. That's the passive aggressive. That's the sociopath. That's the psychopath. That's the narcissist.
Okay. Will you describe a satisfying long-distance relationship committed for marriages? Maybe you've had some clients that have been successful. And what are the communication and compatibility needs for a long-distance relationship?
You know what's interesting? Retirement is as hard on a marriage as separate locations.
Right.
Too much togetherness dulls the oxytocin chemistry.
Right.
Do you see?
Yeah, I do.
We are built to go to work or go to school or babysit or do something.
Right.
We're not built to be in each other's face 24/7.
Right.
Romantically.
Of course.
Okay. Now, when you have a... I just finished. My boyfriend died a few months ago, and we were together 5 years. He was in Houston, Texas, and I was in California.
Right.
And we had a deal to speak every day. Speak. No, we texted, but minimal. To speak on the phone every single day for 5 years.
That's awesome.
And we visited each other. I either went to Houston or he came to California.
Mm-hmm.
And we played and we had a good time. And then we separated to our own location. We traveled together.
Right.
Do you see?
Mm-hmm.
And so we negotiated how to stay in contact daily, yearly, long-term, long-distance.
Right.
Do you see?
Yeah.
And we had a ball.
So really what happened was is you guys were sort of in the throes of anticipation. Well, you're communicating daily, but you were looking forward to things like having a vacation together.
Yes.
Or spending a weekend together
totally.
At home. Or, you know, travel or just dancing or whatever. You had that anticipation. So it was something to look forward to.
Remember.
But you had the continuity and the continuous communication through agreement.
Absolutely. We negotiated it.
So that's very important when you are not together with somebody. And now with all kinds of interesting things like Skyping and Web Connect and all of those things where you can actually see each other.
I understand that, but on the phone was good enough for us.
Right.
He was, you know, we're both in our 80s. Do you see?
Mm-hmm.
He worked till the last day of his life. I'm still working, and I'm going to do it, too.
Right.
Because you need three things to be really comfortable and happy in life. Someone to love, something to do, and something to look forward to.
That is the truth. Dr. Allen, we once again are out of time, and I don't know how it goes so fast, but it is always so much fun. What do you have to say to me tonight before we go?
I love the same thing. The only way to know you love yourself or anybody else is the commitments you're willing to make and keep.
It is the truth. Everybody, follow us on Facebook. You know how to find it. www.drpatallen. If you don't visit there, you're missing out. Sign up for our newsletter, and we will talk a little bit more next week about our new location for our Monday night show. That starts September 14th. Go to our website and find out about it, and find us on Facebook. Bye-bye.
You're listening to On the Air with Dr. Pat Allen. Empowered communication. Right here on LA Talk Radio.